What if good government isn't what the polls say, but what God says? In Romans 13, Scripture calls civil leaders ministers of God for your good and gives a clear standard of justice, mercy, and humility and protection of the vulnerable. From Leviticus to Micah to Jeremiah, the Bible lays out how rulers should treat the poor, the powerful, and the defenseless without favoritism, without fear. Stay with me as we unpack God's definition of civic righteousness and what it means for how we vote, advocate, and pray. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you're having a great day as we dive into God's Word. We are in a series called Governing Authorities, a study of Romans chapter 13. And I hope you're enjoying this series. If you are, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app inside of your huddle. And if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us accomplish our goal, which simply is this: to change our hearts so that we change the public square. So we are in Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let's read it. And we are going to focus on 4 again. Just the last little part of it there, or actually the beginning. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. And that's what we're focusing in right there. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God and an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, ministers of God, servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we are in verse 4, and we're just looking at one word in there. For it is a minister of God to you for good. Okay, so we've been looking at what is good. Is there such thing as civic righteousness or civil righteousness? And I've been researching this to try to figure out, you know, how does the Bible define good? And in Romans 12, verse 16 and 17, it says right here, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. So I look at this and I begin to think, wow, what is good? Well, having a humble mind, associating with the lowly, not being wise in your own estimation, not paying back evil or taking your own revenge within the public system. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. So living honestly and peaceably with others is good, right? Honest about yourself, honest with others. That is the common good, the civic righteousness that we're talking about. How about, let's go back to Leviticus for a second and see what that one has to say. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, here we go. 19, verse 15. You shall not do injustice in judgment. So civic righteousness is not having injustice in judgment. So when a court, a Supreme Court, causes injustice by legislating from the bench, that is not a just judgment. That is an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor. Okay, so when we tax the rich in favor to redistribute the wealth to the poor, we are being partial to the poor, nor defer to the great. So when we look at big box organizations or big business and we show favoritism towards the great, we are not administering justice or impartiality. But you are to judge your neighbor fairly. Okay, so looking at fairness in the public square from Leviticus, administering fair justice without partiality. So this is something that we can all learn, whether we are Republican, Democrat, or independent. God's standard is you don't show favoritism to the poor. You don't show favoritism to the great. You treat everyone the same with the same plumb line, right? All right. So defending the defenseless and speaking for the mute. Let's go to Zechariah, which is in the Minor Prophets over here. All right. I got these marked to make it go faster. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. It says, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow, do not oppress the orphan, the stranger, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. Bam. God wants us to defend the defenseless and speaking for the mute. So some of the most defenseless are the babies in the womb or the elderly in the nursing homes. As born-again believers, people set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, we should stand for civic righteousness in regards to those areas. Remember, God in Romans 13 says that they are ministers of God for your good. In other words, they should make laws that are in accordance with how God defines good. I know there's going to be people who have problems with that, but that's just the truth. Micah 6:8, he says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Justice, love kindness, walk humbly before our God. He says, and what does the Lord require but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before our God? That is good. Justice, mercy, and humility. So God has a definition of good. You can't make up your own definition. If you are an elected official and you are been entrusted by God to be a minister of God, God gets to define the good things that are good in a society, a civic righteousness, you might say. So working diligently and caring for what God has entrusted to us. In Proverbs, we can see that this righteousness is that we need to be hard workers. Proverbs 12:11, he who tills the land will have plenty of bread. But he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Okay, so we should be hard workers, working diligently and caring for what God has entrusted to us. And finally, civic righteousness is producing peace, quietness, confidence in society. Jeremiah 29:7. Seek the welfare or the peace of the city where I sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. So we're supposed to be intercessors for the government systems. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. In other words, in its peace, you will have peace. So some would say, seek the prosperity of the city, some translations, where I have sent you, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its prosperity, you will have prosperity. So the idea that we are to produce peace, quietness, and confidence in society is civic righteousness. Okay. So here we are. We've looked at what good, how God defines good, and we go back to Romans. For it, government, is a minister of God to you for good. It's supposed to do those things. Have justice, protect the vulnerable, seek the peace, all those kind of things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us a new definition of good, a definition that aligns with your word. God, take any ounce that we have tried to define good ourselves. Have your way in us, God. Go before us in all things, God. Surround us in all things. You are worthy of it all, oh God. God, we lift up Bob Ferguson to you, Donald Trump to you. We lift up our elected officials to you. God, let them seek the common good, but use the definition from the Bible. God, we need good leadership. We pray for those over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment, the Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.